called, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Nori Ford. And today we have the pleasure of interviewing Stephen Lewis, who is the head of the Energetic Matrix Church of Consciousness. The topic today, You Can Heal Anything. Stephen's going to tell us about an energetic way of looking at health and illness and how we can potentially heal anything through frequency. Hello, Stephen. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Great.
And you are in Atlanta, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, because I even called Plastico's, but they're closed today.
Yes, they are. I'm sorry that there was some confusion about this. I'll have to investigate where that came from, but we're glad we got a hold of you.
Yeah. I went, no, forget it. I'm going back to bed.
Right. Well, Stephen,
jazz group last night till late at night.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and they were good. So anyway, here
okay.
We are.
Yes. Well, you want to tell our listening audience a little bit about frequency and how that relates to health and disease?
Well, everything in life is a frequency. I mean, and E does equal MC squared. That's
mm-hmm.
That's high school physics at this point. But everything being energy doesn't tell you much, doesn't tell you anything, because energy does not have any property of its own. Not only does it not taste or smell, you can't see it, you can't feel it, there's no time, it's always. Where is it? Everywhere. And we live a very finite life, you know, we live a life that's manifest and physical. You know, my elbow is different from my ear, and they're both different than the desk I'm leaning on right now, etc. What gives you in your life coherence? What gives it a manifestation, physicality? And what gives it whatever there is, for better or for worse, is consciousness. And that is the medium in which we work, in which that's my area of study. Consciousness takes this amorphous stuff, energy, and shapes it. And it shapes it into whatever you focus on, for better or for worse. So that's the good news and the bad news. Because you can shape it into joy and elation and, you know, a meaningful emotional life, or you can shape it into depression and anxiety, etc. You can shape it into well-being, and you can shape it into heart disease, cancer, diabetes. It's the good news and the bad news. So the good news is you have this empowerment to create the life you want, but you also have the responsibility to do so. It's not something, not like I was taught as a kid. It isn't done to you. You better hope it so you're okay, or otherwise that's it. It's a different phenomenon entirely. So, given that, the technology at EMC Squared and the AIM program is very simply this. We use what I call a spiritual holographic technology, because it is a technology that just about compels you to heal yourself. I use holograms, and anything unique to you is your hologram. It could be a drop of your hair, a drop of your blood, a lock of your hair. Told you I was about to sleep. A drop of your blood. Anything whatsoever. I use your photograph, because DNA tags along later. It's simply not relevant to healing. Now, it may be very relevant to diagnosing and treating,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good thing. But healing is a matter of intention. So I use your photograph for the obvious reason. I can recognize your photograph. You, Susan, don't look a thing like me. You're this attractive young woman, and I'm this geriatric male. I can tell the difference, which is no, you know, marvelous feat, but there it is. So that's what I use. And with these photographs, I use several phenomena. First of all, there's something I developed that's called the Rosetta frequencies. They allow you, they actually compel you, to select whatever balancing frequencies for whatever imbalances there are and focus entirely upon whatever you need to heal and ignore everything else, which is critically important because nobody can focus on 500,000 frequencies. There's just nobody that good. You know, I mean, let's say hypothetically God can, but I can't. So you select what you need to heal, and you keep selecting. And what you are doing is focusing upon removing an imbalance from your consciousness. If you select the frequency of lung cancer, adenocarcinoma, whatever it may be, you know, mm-hmm. or papillary ductal carcinoma, whatever you select, you focus on until it's removed from your consciousness. Now, what does it mean? Once something no longer exists in your consciousness, it cannot sustain itself in your physical world. It's impossible because consciousness creates the physical world. And that is what the AIM program does. So I use a number of things that are common knowledge. You have an instinct. It's called survival. You will automatically, intuitively, instinctually choose whatever you need for the purpose of trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Even if you say, no, I'm finished with, you know, this incarnation, whatever you say doesn't matter. It's built into you. And so you will choose whatever you need to. So for that matter, if you and I are on the same train next to each other, Susan, you will never choose a frequency to heal your prostate. And I have flawless ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
I never give them a thought.
Right.
But that's the point. We know everything about us. When I say we, I mean everything does. You do, I do, my two kittens here do. If you have a dog, the dog knows. When I say know it, it doesn't mean you can articulate it. Now, you being a physician perhaps can. But certainly my kittens can't speak of, I've got this problem with my feeding because I have Helicobacter pylori. They don't know it, but they know that frequency. It's in their consciousness. They know it to select it and heal it. And still, the only language they can speak audibly is meow. But in consciousness, they know everything. Everyone knows everything. To what degree you know what you know, well, that's your life's work. That's the life's work for all of us, to become more conscious. And consciousness is what you use to create your life, for better or for worse.
Dr.
So there, that's my
Dr.
2 cents
Goswami
of what I do.
Dr. Gamet As Swami said that consciousness is the ground of all being.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said, Susan.
Oh, Dr. Amit Goswami, the nuclear physicist, the quantum physicist, who we've had on the show, says that consciousness is the ground of all being. And so no matter what form consciousness takes, whether it's a doctor, you know, a child, a cat, it doesn't matter. Consciousness is the ground of all being, and that's how you understand the statement you just made, that the cat knows everything. The cat is a manifestation of consciousness, and consciousness is the projector into this dimension.
Well, yeah, and are you quoting Dr. Goswami?
Well, Dr. Goswami said that consciousness is the ground of all being.
Right. Right.
And so that is, he's a quantum physicist. I mean,
no,
if our listeners don't know, this guy is very educated and spiritually as well as in science. And this is what he has concluded from his studies. So,
well, yeah, he has, and this work is basically the work of Niels Bohr,
mm-hmm.
of David Bohm, of just these incredible giants. And certainly no one can ever exclude Albert Einstein.
Right.
But it's also the work of people who are at least as huge, probably much, much more so, who probably couldn't do the mathematics I can do. People like Buddha or Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because this holographic principle is just, that's restating something that is fundamental knowledge and has always been true and always been stated, but it's being stated mathematically now.
Right.
And math is a kind of inferior language because almost nobody can talk it. I mean, you know, if you write a book in mathematics, how many readers are you going to get?
True. But these days, science and spirituality are coming together.
Well, yeah, they're coming together because there is no difference when you speak of the holographic principle and say, as such, we are all part of each other. We all energetically are part of one great hologram.
Right.
And that energy intersects all other energy in the entire universe. We are all part of something together. We are not alone. We are not exclusive. We are inclusive. There's no different in saying that as a physicist than there is in saying, as John Steinbeck said in Grapes of Wrath, I guess all the world is just one big soul.
Right.
And that's no different than, going back a little bit before that, Jesus Christ saying, what you do to the least of mine, you do to me.
Right.
And before that, 5,000 years ago, when Buddha spoke about being in the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't news when Buddha said it. It's never been news. Goswami says, yes, this is the fundamental building block of life, is consciousness.
And really, spiritual development is more about learning to read the hologram than anything. Spiritual development is about becoming still and one with the hologram so that you basically know yourself and therefore know the world you're in.
Yeah, well, you see, that is part of the problem, and that is that, look, if you get back to chaos theory, chaos mm-hmm. theory says very fundamentally, there is no chaos. All in the universe is in order.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the message in chaos theory, which
right.
is a theory in quantum physics and pretty much accepted. Now, there's a caveat, and that is everything is in order, and you can see that order pretty clearly if you're Jesus or Buddha or God.
Mm-hmm.
But your perception of your hologram, while you do intersect with all other energy in the universe, you are not aware of that intersecting. And everything outside of your hologram, even though it is meaningful in the eyes of God or Buddha or whomever, looks chaotic to you and to me. If something is outside of what we know that we know. And that is, once again, consciousness. And so our task is not, when I say increase our consciousness, perceive and feel our connection with everything and everyone in the universe. And when you do that, and I feel that we all will, but then I believe in reincarnation.
Right.
And when you do that, there's going to be a whole bunch of churches named after you. As well there should be, rightly so.
I think we're all in the process of doing it every day.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know I'm a very different person today than I was a year ago. I'm more aware.
Yes, you
period.
Are. Well, all that says, Susan, is that you are striving to be more conscious. And you may look back on yourself a year from now and say, God, I just didn't get it back then.
That's
and
right.
Let's hope that process continues forever, because there's no end to consciousness.
That's why I have the radio show, so I can talk to people who can help me with my own, perception of the hologram.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you see, here's a funny thing about it. Any person who is on the AIM program will endeavor to heal himself.
Mm-hmm.
And healing is removing imbalances from your consciousness, and your
right.
body will follow suit. However, not every person will attempt to increase his consciousness. That is volitional.
Right.
Some do it, others, and I measure consciousness. I do it using David Hawkins' scale.
Mm-hmm.
Some just don't budge, and they don't. They're interested in healing these gross imbalances that they've acquired or inherited,
mm-hmm.
but they don't care about their fundamental consciousness. It's that simple. I mean, you know who James Arthur Ray is?
No, huh?
Well, he's a highly, highly successful speaker. In a new age speaker,
mm-hmm.
New thought, call it what you will. And when he first got in the program a couple of years ago, I checked his life force, and it was at that time what was about average, which was 1, nothing to write home about. But his consciousness was relatively low. He's given me permission to say this. Otherwise, I wouldn't dream of it. And I checked these numbers and these factors for James a few months ago, because we did an event together, because he did an event in Las Vegas. He travels all over the world doing events.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't anymore. I said, I'm a geriatric, forget it. and furthermore, it isn't productive for me to do events, because what people need me to do is do what I do, figure out frequencies, measure imbalances, figure out balancing frequencies, etc.
Right.
Not go around and follow them and try and restate what they're saying in my words.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are all saying the same thing. And that same thing is, we are all part of each other. We are all in this together. We must act accordingly. And that you have the power, and we have the power to manifest our destiny. So anyway, James, after a couple of years, his life force had risen to 100, and his consciousness had soared. And he said to me, everything about my life, the way I see myself, the way I see others, everything about that has changed so dramatically. And people look at me and go, wow, I didn't realize you understood that, or and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to accelerate your race's consciousness. He came to me from a close friend of mine, a guy named Michael Beckwith, who was in the movie The Secret, you may have seen. Well, both of them were in The Secret. So, I don't know what I'm answering at this point. I'm babbling too much.
well, we were talking about that not everybody puts their intent on raising their consciousness. But he did, and he did.
You wish to, but that's obvious. You wouldn't be in this program if you didn't wish to.
Right.
I mean, we are the same thing, you and I. We are very simply messengers.
Yeah.
And
but, sorry. At the same time, I'm very sure, for example, you were talking about Jesus or Buddha. Even if they didn't, in those days when Jesus was walking around, even if they didn't believe him and they thought all kinds of...
I'm sorry, you're speaking quickly and this connection's a little bit fuzzy.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, who is this?
This is Dr. Ford. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I say, my God, Susan's voice just changed.
I just came out of nowhere, huh? It's your subconsciousness.
I was sitting hitting my phone. Go ahead.
Allow me to introduce another aspect of you, Stephen. This is Dr. Ford. Sorry.
Dr. Ford, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
You were talking about being a messenger, which actually I believe that's what the prophets are, like Jesus Christ or, you know, different messengers, prophets. But at the same time, when they were walking on this earth, you know, in their body, in their body. Of course, their spirit's still around. But when they are walking in the, on this planet, even if people didn't believe in them, I am very sure because of the frequency, they could tell that there is something different about them. And so I'm wondering how, and then people who were just adamant about not trusting them or not believing them, some of them just something clicked and they were able to look into themselves and find that source within themselves to realize what the prophet, Jesus Christ, Buddha is saying. And I'm trying to find out how we can be, how are we as physicians or as just as messengers would be able to let everybody or at least know that there is a thing like this and how they would be able to unlock it.
What you cannot, you are a messenger, and if you have a message, you give it, and you don't, and you try not to give a half truth, because it's possible the truth will set you free, but it's certain a half truth is going to enslave you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. But you are just a part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have something to say. How someone accepts the message is absolutely his choice. You simply do that little part of whatever it is you do or I do or Susan does and move on. Because, and you know, and there's no absolute finality there because, you know, I've had people who've heard me speak of this spiritual technology and said, what a bunch of gibberish. This guy's a whack job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And suddenly, maybe 6 months later, a year later, they go, wait a minute, and they get it. And that's a common phenomenon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's no different. You see, when you can't point to something scientifically, it then is perceived at an entirely different level. Now, I don't know. Do you believe in, for example, Larry Dossey wrote a book, a number of books, Reinventing Medicine, and it's about the power of prayer and healing. Now, do you believe in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you see, your problem is this. You can believe in it and you can speak about it, but you cannot point to it under a microscope.
That's very true.
That's so you must do what you must do. But when you say something about this to someone, if they choose not to accept it, you're never going to convince them because there's no scientific method.
Yeah.
That's and but you accept that and move on.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You can't point to many things in which you profoundly believe. Under a microscope, you cannot point to love. You can't point to any of these things, and yet you know they are real.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conflict that's always existed between science and something like homeopathy. Are you familiar with homeopathy, Dr. Porter, Susan?
Yes, yes. We have a homeopathic physician in our practice.
Yeah, well, that's one of my degrees. I've got a degree in that and acupuncture, a bunch of stuff. Hold on, but it doesn't matter. The point is this. When you dilute something enough above Avogadro's number,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing left in it that can be seen. And so a scientist will look at this homeopathic tincture under a microscope and say, there ain't nothing there.
Yeah.
But there is.
Yeah.
And Hahnemann himself called homeopathy the memory in water. There's memory. And homeopathy doesn't treat anything. It's a tool to help you heal yourself. So we've got such short attention spans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you take these drops of this tincture, you go, I remember, I need to heal this. Good, good. Then little by little you forget and go, take some more drops. I remember. And it's the memory in water. And you heal yourself, because no one in the world can heal you but you.
Yeah.
And that's the contradiction, because healing only you heal yourself. And yet there's no one important in our lives than healers. So it raises the question, you know, what do these guys do for a living if they don't heal you? Why do they call them healers? They change your consciousness. And with that change, you are more able to heal yourself. It's your consciousness that does it. They change your consciousness. And that is the powerful phenomenon that enables them to be called healers. I imagine if you did meet a Buddha or a Christ, when that friend, just because of the change in your consciousness, you might heal everything about yourself in a proverbial New York second.
Mm-hmm. They say that the perfect teacher is a mirror. And I think that that's what energetically the great masters do, is they mirror back to you the frequencies that you need to raise your consciousness and heal yourself.
Yeah, they help you know what you know.
Right.
It's
but they do
simple.
It
and that's
through,
why
through
they've
frequency.
All said something akin to greater things than these could you do if you had
right.
the faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's the point.
And,
yeah.
And you know, I mean, these days, faith is fine, but if you study physics, we've interviewed Irvin Laszlo on his book, Science in the Akashic Field, The Integral Theory of Everything. I think now you don't need faith. You need to study the great minds of our time, because science is actually merging with spirituality. And the physicists, anyway, the physicists I've interviewed on this show, collectively have the science behind it.
Yeah,
that's the good news for our time.
And what is happening is, because of quantum mechanics, science is catching up to spirituality.
Right, exactly.
And those waters are kind of uncharted, because there's something that has to be understood and isn't understood, at least not well enough. And that is that technology must serve spirituality.
Right.
Because if technology may not be an advancement in human evolution.
It isn't necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, if it makes our lives worse, it's not an advancement in our evolution.
It can make our lives more dangerous, too.
Yeah, and, well, you know, people haven't changed a great deal. You know, what changes is the technology.
Right.
I mean, do either of you ladies have any kids?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's say, hypothetically, you have a little boy, and he comes home from school, and he's got a bloody nose because he had a fight with his friend, which is pretty common. I mean, I don't know a kid who didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
For you to go haywire or bonkers about it is pointless, because in the middle of your snit, by the next day, they're playing again together, and they've forgotten it. But just take a minute application of technology to that scenario. Give one kid a knife. Now you're a deeply, deeply concerned parent.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone a gun. Let alone
a nuclear
weapons. Let alone biological warfare. You see what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so technology must serve spirituality. It must advance humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because in and of itself, without that service, it's a cannibal. And as I've written in a number of articles, if you're going to live with a cannibal, aren't you interested in what it's going to have for dinner?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think also technology, our technological advances are actually some of the fuel we need for spirituality to be more important in society.
Yeah. I mean, some
without the development of the nuclear weapon, it wouldn't be such an emergency.
Yeah, well, the AIM program is an example of something serving technology, serving spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, and that's its purpose, and it does. Our capacity for biological warfare is not.
Right.
And
right.
so on and so on. I mean, and of course, then how is the technology used? if someone has a deeply important message about anything, spiritual or otherwise, and they use the media, they use a microphone, the airwaves, etc., to broadcast that message, as this show is being broadcast,
mm-hmm.
that is not a cannibalistic activity. You know, it doesn't diminish or demean the message a bit because it's coming over the radio or television or internet or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's, I think that is how we got in this fix, by not understanding that the litmus must be, does this technology, is it something that improves people's lives or does it worsen their lives?
That's true.
And also technology is sort of, even though is inspired through the spirituality, but it still is a man-made, whereas spirituality is really not a man-made. So it's, I think that's why it has taken such a long time for us, quote-unquote, scientifically explain the other world. And we, you know, there is no question that they are both the same thing, because as you said, it's all from the same source.
Well, I think we have used now, though, the spiritual technologies, and I think Stephen and the people that developed the AIM program were actually tapping into that, and I think other people will be tapping into other spiritual technologies which are given to us to help us survive until we can grow up and handle, you know, the things that we... No, really, I do. I think they're gifts.
I'm laughing because it's like until the 100th monkey finally gets here.
Yeah, really.
Where the hell is he? I mean, we've been waiting.
Well, I just think that we have access to higher realms of consciousness, and, you know, messages come through, and spiritual technologies come through, like what you developed. And then that helps people develop their consciousness even more. And so I think this is going to be an exponential growth in consciousness until we get to a, you know, more of a planetary awakening.
What was the word? Did you say exponential?
Exponential, yeah, instead of linear.
Yeah, absolutely so. And, but that is dictated, you know, now you get back to chaos theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's dictated by the fact that it is a condensate. When a paradigm ceases to function, it, in and of its failure, creates an alternative paradigm that will function.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes a question of who can see it, who can hear it.
Right.
There's a message. Now, some people hear a message when it's whispered.
Mm-hmm.
For others, you got to scream. With, in fact, you got to have the whole anvil chorus
right
at the top of their lungs, and they so say, "What? I can't hear you." So you know the message is there. It's like anything else. Everything is out there. Are you open to it?
That's true.
I mean, here's a phenomenon that, as a physician, you might find interesting. You know. I've read several studies about people who are in hospice. So they're obviously in dire straits. And they're given puppies or kittens just to ease things for them while they're transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that, right?
I am.
Okay. And they've had a lot of these people improve so dramatically that it's almost what they would call miraculous, to up to the point of spontaneous remission.
Mm-hmm. That's because they're channeling. They start to channel unconditional love for something outside of themselves, and they get out of themselves. And the most miserable people in the world are the people who just think about themselves and what they want, money, power. As long as you concentrate on that, you're going to build a problem with depression, disease,
absolutely
anxiety.
Absolutely correct. That's because of my next question, which, of course, you know, is rhetorical, is, so what do you think? You think dogs and cats can cure cancer? And the answer is, I don't think so.
No.
You know? But
the
I'll
person's
tell you what.
Consciousness can, though.
Well, but the most self-involved,
mm-hmm.
unconnected, miserable slob you'll ever meet will usually let his puppy or his kitten love him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And love him back.
And, well, yeah, when you let something love you, yeah, it's you're open. You're letting loose the dogs of war, aren't you? You know,
you open
those gates, you don't know what's going to pour in. And when that happens, now you have the next question. Well, how about this? Do you think love can impel you to heal cancer?
It can impel you to heal anything.
Right. Absolutely correct. So, and that's the essence of it. And that's why, to me, consciousness is very simply, mm-hmm. I think we said this, how long has it been? I don't have my watch on. I never wear my watch to bed. Consciousness is to what extent do you perceive your interaction with everyone and everything? And unconsciousness is the converse.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent are you absolutely exclusionary in your life, where you include no one and nothing? And it's not a matter of intelligence. It's a separate phenomenon entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take a guy, you know, who obviously had a brilliant mind, a guy like Bobby Fischer, the chess player, who was almost functionally autistic in terms of he did not wish to include anyone or anything in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not intelligence. It's a different phenomenon.
Now, I was wondering if you can explain a little bit more about the technique you have, the Rosetta that you mentioned, and the frequency, and how a person can use it. Is it a device? What is it?
Well, no, it's not something that you purchase and use in your office.
Okay.
That will never happen. It'll never happen simply because the AIM program is a program to help you heal yourself, physically, emotionally, spiritually. However, the technology is such that it is a frequency generator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, until I know there are no more lunatics left on the planet, I am not going to take my life's work and let someone try and transform it into a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Einstein ended up, and I'm not placing myself in that category, but Einstein said, I wish I had become a watchmaker instead.
Yeah.
Because of the application
yeah.
of nuclear weapons. Robert Oppenheimer said, I have blood on my hands.
Right.
And so, you know, again, I'm not comparing myself to them, but the point is this. I will not let my life's work, which I have tried to make of service, become a weapon in anyone's hands. So get back to your question. How do you do it? We use your hologram, as I said at the beginning of the program. It could be a lock of your hair. I mean, right now, like that Susan's picture in front of me, you know, with her glasses off, hanging from a strap, and you know that picture, right, Susan?
So I'm not that young.
Well, that's a relative thing.
I have to be over 40 in that picture.
I guarantee you, you know, you're a lot younger than I am.
No, I've had some plastic surgery.
That's okay. Well, I haven't, you know, but I'm in my 70s.
Okay, you are a little older than I am.
I mean, that's my chronological age. My
yeah.
biological age, as a matter of fact, which I also measure, is
uh-huh.
28.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's because you're using your program.
You know, that's well, I was the first person on the program, obviously.
I'll bet, yeah, and the longest.
If you had developed it, wouldn't you have been the first person?
I would think so.
I would think so.
You wouldn't want to try to put out anything out there you haven't tried.
No, so anyway, I don't know how we got here, but that's the point. You will, because of the... See, this program couldn't have worked without these Rosetta frequencies. Because let's say there's 500,000 frequencies in the program. And nobody, as I've said, can focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to. Out of that 500,000, perhaps 20 or 30 pertain to you. You choose them and ignore the rest. Now, when I wrote the book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, there was only one Rosetta frequency. There are probably 70 or 80 Rosetta frequencies now to compel you even more to choose and focus on what you need more thoroughly, more completely. And the AIM program is far more effective than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was phenomenal back then, but that doesn't mean it can't be better. And hopefully I'll be able to make that same statement in a year.
That would be wonderful.
I mean, that's, you know, recapitulation, which is the only real progress.
Stephen, would you like to give the website where people can read about the program?
Oh, I'd love to, sure. The website is aimprogram.com. Aimprogram.com or energeticmatrix.com. Same website. You can go to it either way. And there's a toll-free number, and that is 877-500-3622. So if you call up that number and you want anything, materials sent to you, you know, you've got DVDs, got a lot of stuff, they'll send it out. If you want someone to talk to you, they will. Don't have to try and sell you anything, because this is something that can't be sold. You can't be convinced of it. When you get it, you get it. Until you get it, you don't. It's just that simple. I mean, it would be, it's like trying to convince someone that your religion is right. The very fact that you're convincing them to shift to your religion, in my mind, makes it wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between religion and spirituality.
Yeah.
The difference is what is inclusionary and what is exclusionary. Because I'll tell you something, we are all chosen. There is no individual, right? We are all in this together. And we're getting back to what we said a little while ago. The degree to which we perceive it is the degree to which we're conscious. And we all need each other.
And it's about turning on the light, too. I mean, a lot of us are in darkness. A lot of us are in depression and despair, anxiety, and worried about the economy and our family and our job and everything. That's a lot of the consciousness right now. A lot of changes have happened in the last year. But I'll tell you, I believe that a lot of my energetic shifts, which are more toward peace and calmness, and even in the midst of all of these storms, just a feeling of well-being, are at least partially due to me being on the program.
Well, I know that, and you're still in the middle of detoxing.
Yeah,
I know
I
that
am.
Also.
Right.
I checked it.
Right.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, if you said, well, I know how I feel like I'm doing, but what have you found, Steve? You know, well, of course I looked. You started with a life force that was low. It is now 82, which
and
is not 100.
I feel
that's
that,
the only
too.
Acceptable number.
Right. I feel much stronger.
You are, but you know what? 82, let's call it percent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got no reason to not be 100, and you will be.
Yeah.
And
oh, I know I'm still detoxing. I can feel it. I can feel that, too. But I do think that the program is a great addition to my, you know, my other spiritual practices.
Precisely. Precisely. You know, it's not either or. Because,
right.
I mean, there is no day that I go through without stopping and meditating. Because I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to remind myself that I am part of everything,
mm-hmm.
part of everyone, and they're part of me. Like everyone else, I tend to lose sight of it at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to take a break and say, hey, hold it, Steve.
What's becoming more and more clear to me, and I imagine you are seeing this too, is that we're coming into a time where we truly are projecting our reality, and we're starting to see it within short periods of time.
Yep.
And it's just becoming more and more clear that what we intend and what we focus on manifests. And I think that once we really get that, then we'll have the discipline in terms of our thought and intent to create in the positive rather than in the negative.
Yes, but you know, when change occurs rapidly enough, it's no longer accurate to call it evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is still evolution, but within evolution there are revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And time is most certainly not linear. And as this accelerates, the changes become more rapid and dramatically apparent.
That's what I'm in right
that's
now.
That's what's happening. Yeah, that's what's happening.
It's kind of fun.
And I'll tell you something. I you know, the economy is one of the healthiest things about our society right now.
It is.
And
it's refocusing everything.
Because it's simply a symptom of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is related. And it's a single symptom of an overall phenomenon.
But without
the
symptom,
which is why the world of people who are saying, who are perceiving, I need to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
I need to recognize my connection to everyone and everything. I need everyone, and they need me, and we're in this together. The audience who perceives that is growing.
And the right, and the symptom, when the symptom comes on, like the economy was a problem waiting to happen for a while. But until the economy crashed, the world economy crashed, we didn't have any symptoms, so nobody was going to do anything to fix it. You know, it's like people just kept doing what they were doing, and then when everything bottomed out, finally now our attention is focused on fixing the problems behind this crash. And it's just the same thing when someone gets sick. I mean, if you're feeling well, you don't do anything to change your diet or your supplements or anything. That B12 deficiency may be coming on you like a freight train and might be headed toward high homocysteine and a heart attack, but until you start developing symptoms, you're not going to think to take B12.
Correct, but you know what? There's another phenomenon that I think you have to understand. There's a guy here in Las Vegas. I met him. He's a real estate agent. We got here. We're looking at places for MC Squared.
Mm-hmm.
His last name is Meldon, and you can get his book on Amazon.com. It's a little tiny, almost a joke book. It's called I Think I Smell Garlic, and it refers to a phenomenon that's true not just of frogs but of people. But in frogs, it's been studied and noted scientifically, they will adapt to any change in their environment and keep adapting. This is when you have frogs in a pot and you're cooking them. And they keep adapting up until the very last second, when obviously they can no longer adapt and they transition. And he's saying at that last second, the frog says, I think I smell garlic.
That's cute.
Well, I submit that we are the same as frogs.
Well, we don't have to be, though.
No.
We
and
don't
that's
have
why
to be.
I said
And
to
meditation
earlier,
and spiritual practices actually will start a process where you begin to see things before they become critical.
Well, that's the entire point. Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you. And that's why I said, though, some people will hear a message when it's just barely a whisper.
Right.
Others need the entire animal chorus. And sometimes they still don't hear it.
True.
So the problem is, and the question is, what does it take for each given person to understand that reality, that we are all in this together, we need each other. Within each of us, there is an abyss. It's a bottomless pit. And the only thing that can fill, you can't fill that pit with your efforts and practices. The only thing that can fill that abyss is everyone. when you allow everyone in the universe in, there is no more pit. It's filled.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the only solution. I believe that. And so what I'm saying is, in this time, it's a critical, critical time, the only solution is fundamentally a spiritual solution. We must approach life as the spiritual phenomenon that it is. Because, and if you do that, there is help available everywhere. There's EMC Squared. There's you, Susan, and your colleague. And there's so many things. There's puppies and kittens. Help is available. But are
That's
you
true.
Open to the help? That remains the question, doesn't it?
It does. No, it does.
I'm hearing a lot of crackling noises. Are you there?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Would you like to give your information again and any closing messages?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. The website is a website you can reach with two different addresses. One is aimprogram.com, and the other is energeticmatrix.com. And, you know, if you want to read the book, Sanctuary, there's a, it's available anywhere. Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and
right.
wherever you, I mean, anywhere.
Wayne Dyer told me about Sanctuary when he was on the TV show, actually.
Wayne did?
Yes, he did.
Yep. Yep.
He recommends that book?
Yeah, he's gone on public. In fact, in one of his books, which is There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem,
mm-hmm.
he has, I think, about 20 pages talking about the program.
Right. So you can go look at it there if you want to see what Wayne thinks about it.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne's a funny guy. I mean, he got a title for one of his books from a conversation we had.
That's great.
And that was it's the power of intention.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was
yeah.
recent
book. He went
over
the booklet, so I
right.
said to Wayne, you owe me money. They should take me to court. So,
yeah.
No, he's an extraordinary man.
Yes.
And there, he's an example of someone whose life is basically built around reaching others
mm-hmm.
and making them part of him, himself part of them. And in that process, how many people has Wayne Dyer helped?
Oh, he's helped so many. He's been on PBS.
Millions.
You know, just millions,
yes.
yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. So yeah. anyway... You have the number, and it's the toll-free number, 877-500-3622. And the parting thought is just redundant. We are all in this together. We need each other. We are not meant to imitate each other, but to be synergistic with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we must live and recognize that we are connected to each other. And when we do that, we can heal everything and anything, beginning with ourselves, each other, and ultimately the entire planet.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us and giving us this great message. It's been a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Yes, yes.
And...
I'm honored you had me on. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wanted to have just a few announcements. Next month, on the 19th of March, we're the Noetic Science Study Group of Atlanta. We're going to have Randall Carson, who's a leading authority on sacred geometry. He will be giving a topic very similar to what we're talking about today, the coming changes of the next few years and what they mean. Our radio show is every Saturday at noon. Next Saturday we have Dr. Bernie Siegel on, 365 Prescriptions for the Soul. Bernie's a surgeon by trade and a spiritual teacher, of course, now with his original book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And then we have on the 7th of March a book on food energetics, what the energy signatures are of the various things you put in your body. And then we have Stephanie Marone, the National Medicine Guide to Autism. Stephen, you have a program specific for autism, is that right?
Well, it's the AIM program. It's not specific for autism, but
right,
we have
but
a scholarship program.
Right, a scholarship program for autism.
Who has the frequency of autism, if I find that frequency, which is about 99 out of every 100 people who are supposed allegedly autistic,
mm-hmm.
it's free. That also applies to Down syndrome. That came about, you know, well, you know the story, but,
mm-hmm.
when a little girl said to me when I was speaking in, when I used to go out public, speaking in Melbourne, Australia, she said, "Can I thank you?" I said, "Well, anybody can thank me. I kind of like it. You know, I'm not a fool. But thank me for what?" She said, "Well, I couldn't have thanked you a year ago. I was autistic. Now I'm not."
That's wonderful.
Well, I couldn't speak anymore. I was too choked up. I said, "Jesus, if I'm this blessed,
yeah,
the purpose is to share it." So
sure.
I said, "All right, anyone who's autistic,
yeah.
it's free."
Well, I think that's an important message.
You've got to have your parents' permission because that's just the law.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, there's no other conditions.
Yeah, well, Dr. Ford's going to be doing that interview, so... Nora, you might want to mention on that show about Stephen's program.
Yes, definitely.
Because I think that would be a good thing to
too.
Do.
Yeah.
I'd be honored again. And yeah, it's free. And that's true for Down syndrome also. Because I had said, someone asked me about Down syndrome, and I said, "I don't think so."
We're at the end of our hour now, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. And join us next week.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days.
I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677. Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.